It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wah-ah.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday. Ducks and Beavs. It's game week. Let's go. Hey. Cougs and Huskies, too. We've made it.
Applause.
We've made it. It's game week. NFL's preseason, dead, gone, done, goodbye. College football's regular season, it's officially here.
No one happier by the end of preseason than Trey Lance.
Holy guacamole. Boy, he was bad. He was really bad. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to dive in. There's a lot of...
A lot of crappy Cowboy stuff. Yeah.
But we also... It's actually worthwhile Dallas Cowboys conversations.
That's never true.
Not, is this going to be the year they win it? But hey, it's almost been 30 years. Is this going to be the year they win it?
It's the year they self-destruct the fastest.
Oh, wow. That's it.
Oh, this is setting
you
up.
Like that.
This is setting up for just an all-time meltdown.
You would hate to see it.
Oh, truly.
You would just, I mean, you don't want to see it. You'd hate to see it. You know, it's just a hard.
What could go wrong with paying a bunch of guys when you don't have anything going forward?
I mean, I don't see the problem with it. I don't see the problem.
Definitely
in
not.
My eyes, I don't see the problem with it right now. You know, not everybody has their quarterback of the future like the New England Patriots or Drake May.
All right, so I'm step up and throw a pretty nice ball.
You see that third down scramble? You see that third down scramble he had? Third
talking
and 14,
yourself into
huh?
It, I like it.
Oh, I talked myself into it after week two of the preseason. We know this. We got, we'll move over Tom Brady. We got to get that room in that trophy case already. Drake May looked really good in the preseason. Just sit him. Just sit him for a while, and then he's going to be great. He's going to be awesome. Everybody have a good weekend, though? My weekend's great. Football.
Yeah. Yeah, no, back. I footballed really hard.
Yeah, didn't you?
I did.
Saturday was fantastic.
I just footballed a little bit Saturday morning.
Yeah?
I footballed all day.
Yeah.
Started in Ireland and ended in Hawaii.
That's the beauty of college football. And that's something I hope they never take from us, is that we can always football all day, all night on Saturdays.
Have football basically be half of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
I'm in.
I mean, the football wasn't good.
Mm-mm.
It was very, very bad.
Very bad. Very bad.
Watch some FCS action.
Mm.
That was...
Oh, did you watch any of that Florida A&M, Norfolk State?
Oh, yeah.
State?
Steak, too. They're cooked. Hey-o. Florida A&M. Beautiful helmets.
Yeah, they got it.
Beautiful helmets.
Again, Rattlers.
Oh.
Very good logo. I mean,
great
very
logo,
good mascot.
Great mascot. The helmets are perfection.
Yeah.
It's like a gold dust in the in metal flake in the helmet.
A question here for you. Rattlesnakes in Florida?
Yeah.
Up at the top?
Yeah.
Up at the top? So they got everything that'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
They got it all in Florida. Hey, big day for the state of Florida. Little League World Series.
Oh.
You see the walk-off bunt?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Walk-off bunt.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Taiwan throws it over first base into right field.
You
runner scores from second.
That.
You got to feel great about
you
that.
You can't feel good about that.
Little League ball. It was the most Little League play to end the Little League World Series.
Didn't you shame your son for bunting?
Yeah, but, I mean, that was coach pitch. We're talking the high stakes here. This is Little League World Series. You can lay one down. Lay one down in the Little League World Series. And then you had... He had that big old boy there that you see. He's my favorite Little League player of all time. He hit a double, did a little shimmy shake on second base, did the truffle shuffle,
okay,
and then scored from second on the next. Or I think stole home.
Oh,
stole home. got the third, stole home.
Big fella.
Big fella on the pitch? Move. Big fella could move.
Wow.
Yeah. Swiping home plate. That's why I love the Little League World Series. You got kids like Big Al. My name's Big Al, and I hit dingers.
What's he up to these days?
I don't think he's gained much weight since then. I think we looked him up, and wasn't he like 165 pounds now? I think he's playing high school. He's maybe a senior in high school.
Hi, my name's Alfred DeLeo. At home, they call me Big Al, and I have dingers.
Alfred DeLeo, just a little legend, just a little legend. And then you got this kid who, I mean, he could hit for power. He's got speed. He's awesome.
He's like cut now.
I know. That's the great thing about the Little League World Series.
That's so funny.
Kids.
He went like little butterball, and now he's like a jacked baseball player.
Yeah. And I think he's like, we looked him up in the spring, didn't we? It was his senior year this past year. He's already a bit, Big Al's already a senior. And
good God.
He got jacked. He got ripped. We talk about this all the time with like guys that come into the NBA or, you know, big recruits that come into college football or college basketball, they lose the baby fat.
Yeah.
You know, you lose the baby fat, you get your man muscles, and all of a sudden you look like a different person by the time you leave. That was Big Al DeLeo. Hitting dingers.
I hit dingers.
My favorite part was his raspy voice, though. Yeah. When you get a kid who's got like that raspy voice, you're in for a little asthma
in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Already sounds like he's 9 years deep and he's smoking two packs a day.
Yeah. You know you're in for your
good
time.
I mean, he's from Jersey.
He probably was
9 years deep.
Yeah. If I am correct, he was playing at some like prestigious Catholic high school over there.
Yes.
And he's really figured out. I wonder if his voice is still raspy.
Probably.
Those little kids with the raspy voice.
Massillon,
you know.
Ohio, they put the little football on your hands, and then in New Jersey, they just put a pack of Lucky Strikes in your hands.
Oh, Dad, come on. Right in the crib, huh? Yeah. Right there?
Get to him young.
All right.
Hey,
well,
Ma!
Oh, so you footballed hard this weekend.
I footballed really hard. Georgia Tech won me some money.
Hey, all right. Cover.
Cover, baby.
All dogs covered.
It was wonderful.
All dogs go to heaven right there. All four
that game
dogs.
Went about as I thought it was going to go. Ugly as sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we've got, we'll dive into that.
We get the point and laugh at Florida State.
Because, yeah, I called this one on Friday. DJ.
Oof.
That was tough. That was tough.
Negative air yards. Negative air yards is tough.
He got the cheap yards, though. Mm. He got some of those cheap yards.
Yeah, he got the total yards bumped up, but the air yards, not doing great, Bob.
And there's a difference between being a... Like, I am... We're sportsing way too hard here, but...
It's a yards merchant.
It is... There's being a check down guy, and there's an aversion to throwing the ball down the field. And there's a big difference between those two guys. You know, Bo Nix was check down Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
But he would push the ball down the
field.
DJ did not do that.
No.
He was just cheap yards. Mike Norvell calling plays like he didn't trust his quarterback yet, which I get. It's week one in Ireland. You know, the ball spins the opposite direction in Ireland.
It's true.
Yeah. It's like the toilets flushing.
In Australia.
Do toilets actually flush the opposite direction in Australia?
I don't know. I never actually checked.
Do we know that?
I mean, that's the legend.
Yeah. That's the legend.
The cartoons always showed me that.
Rest. These are the things we think that you should know. Well, you know people from random 80s sitcoms and, like, toilet flushing. That is something we lean on you for. We need you right now. So what does the survey say? Uh-oh. Doesn't look good for it. Doesn't look good for the urban legend.
Well, what it's saying here is that you can't tell because toilets tend to angle the jets that pass water into the bowl to drive the direction of the draining water.
I feel like my toilets flush clockwise.
So is it pushing against nature?
Yeah. Yeah. Toilets really do blow my mind, though.
Indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. We were ahead of our time.
I mean, it's... Going full history, it's the French's best invention.
Mm.
It's their number one gift to mankind, indoor plumbing.
It's pretty incredible.
That's why you have crap floating in the Seine River.
Could you imagine?
Because they're still running their indoor plumbing from like 600 years ago.
Yeah.
You can't rip up Paris and put new pipes in.
You feel like you would try to find a way to make that work, though.
You said it was their number one gift. According to some people, shouldn't that be a gift?
I see what you're doing here. You're trying to trigger the people right now between a GIF and a JIF.
I am.
All right. It's a GIF. Even though the guy who invented it says GIF.
Even though the G in GIF stands for graphic, with a hard G.
Yeah, and I believe that man's, I don't know his name.
He's trolling.
His name is probably Jeff with a G.
Probably.
You know?
G-off?
You
know, he's like, no. I'm going to normalize the soft G now. I'm going to normalize the soft G.
The only time the soft G is allowed is when it's Kenny. Because he plays it softly.
Kenny G does. God. Kenny Yee, if you will.
Let's see. Steve Wilhite is his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you find in there?
Just some early Wikipedia stuff.
Getting milkshake ducked.
There's a lot of internet things that I can
As soon as you start digging, you're like,
Like the whole GIF versus GIF thing. Yeah. It's a GIF. We know it. Don't try to tell me
GIF is what you watch. GIF is what you put on your bread.
The guy who invented pop-up ads regrets it more than anything. And I, you know what? I applaud him for that. Hand up. Say, I was wrong. I was wrong for inventing pop-up ads. We didn't need that.
Well, and this guy is super wrong because he says not only does he pronounce it as a GIF, but he says that's the only proper way to say it, and he's wrong.
As Vancouver Ford Text Line says, the guy should be in jail. Spelled with a G.
Huh? He should be in jail.
With a G.
G. Hard G. Hard G. We don't go soft G. He should be in jail.
It's not a graphics interchange format. It's graphics interchange format. Hard G. GIF.
I love how upset Russ gets on
I'm
this.
Pissed off now.
This is... You brought it up, man.
I know I did.
You're the one that did this to yourself.
But for the one guy who invented it, it's the word that literally stands for the G in there is a hard G.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know how we got here, but
I think that's the kind of the title of the show.
Yeah, we kind of Every first segment we've got a squirrel moment or seven.
Yeah. Thank you for toilets, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Thank you, Thomas Crapper.
Thank you for football in Ireland and Pat McAfee wasted on his
Slammered.
Show.
Slammered.
Just absolutely housed. Canned. No apology yet either. I think it's just like, that one got away from me, and they're just owning it. Like, ESPN's like, we should probably rethink putting Pat McAfee in a bar his show.
I think it was a same-day flight. Left New York, got higher than a kite.
Yep.
On the plane.
See, why would you do that to yourself?
I mean, if you're Pat McAfee, fun. If you're ESPN, you're dumb.
I believe they even referenced that during the broadcast.
They did. During
the football game, I mean.
No, they did.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Side note, he won't apologize because Norby Williamson, the old chief there who got a bunch of people axed and Pat McAfee went out against publicly, has been dismissed.
Okay, so no apologies coming.
Yeah, he's the new boss is a Pat McAfee guy.
All right. Well, so, hey, precedent he has won. Been set.
He won.
Bosses everywhere.
Take note.
Noted. Time spent. Stamp that. 12:15, August 26th, 2024.
Have Dusty and I sign that. Send that to Kim.
We will absolutely do that. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? Because we do have Dallas Cowboys news. Dem boys got that dude. CD gets paid next on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CeeDee Lamb got paid, baby!
Womp, womp, womp.
Dallas Cowboys giving their star wide receiver a 4-year deal worth $136 million. $38 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed. Guaranteed.
I refuse to see what the this feels like 2008.com housing market bubbles. Mm. The wide receivers are just getting too much money, and the differentiation between the very top and what you can get otherwise doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see how this plays out, because I look at it like I do quarterback money right now. You have the people that are capologists,
mm-hmm.
cap nerds,
yeah.
salary cap guys, that are going, the jumps that we will see in the salary cap over the next couple of years, if you can afford to do it right now, you pay those receivers right now, mm-hmm. because they will end up eventually looking like bargains down the road. So you have, but the key is you have to have the cap now.
Yeah. Cowboys don't.
Not following that with Dallas.
Nope.
Right? And that's where you're seeing, like, with the Brandon Ayuk situation, San Francisco's like, well, we don't have the cap now. Mm-hmm. Doubt we're going to have it later either.
Especially after re-signing Trent Williams.
Yeah. Restructuring his deal, giving him his more guaranteed money. Yeah. This is going to be the issue with Dallas, because they've always kind of been in this pinch, right? Where they overpay their guys. Jerry Jones will love his people.
And then they overpay.
The last two wide receivers that they gave big old handsome chunks of money to, Amari Cooper in 2020 signed a 5-year, $100 million deal. Dez Bryant in 2015 signed a 5-year, $70 million deal. Neither one of those guys ended up seeing out their contracts with the Dallas Cowboys.
Look, again, this is not a shot at CeeDee Lamb. Like, everything that I'm saying here is not about CeeDee Lamb.
Nope, get your money, dude.
Yeah, no, I guys getting their money, you did what you're supposed to do.
Really damn good receiver.
Yeah, and he is. He's not my particular Huckleberry when it comes to being a number one wide receiver.
You want big body.
I do. I don't like the little guys.
Well, we know how you feel about butts, Danny.
I do. It matters. They yep. matter.
Big butts matter to Danny. Can't find Nothing. It. No. Oh, there it is.
Big butts matter. They do. I do. I like my receiver to be a little thick.
He'll bend you over his knee and give you a good spanking.
Mm. God, I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I was slinging that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, these are old, but they're bringing back some memories. It's tough.
Yeah.
I have a big backyard. Backdoor action. Big butts matter. Balls may come flying at your face. Burn my butt. God, it's a lot of butts. A lot of butt stuff. Take me home, baby.
It stinks.
Goodness.
Danny, it's been well established on the size of your receivers that you like.
I like it that way. Along those lines, take it in the back end. That's what the Cowboys are going to do on this contract. I have no idea
Absolute
what the hell.
Unit.
I'm also a giant weenie.
Okay, that one doesn't make sense.
He just wanted to play.
I just wanted to play.
He just wanted to play. Were you just waiting to call me trash? I've had some bad runs.
Man, that one makes sense. Yeah, that one makes sense. Okay.
But with all this said, I just don't understand what the Cowboys are doing. And this isn't a new thing. Obviously, this is Jera, but this, you're not pulling the string that starts today. You're going back to Zeke and the financial decisions that have been made since then, or not made, whether it was, you know, not getting Micah Parsons done a year early, dumb as could be, waiting on CeeDee Lamb, stringing out Dak. It's just so many different parts of this that are so bad, and it's going to turn into the Cowboys being smashed against the rocky cliffs by the water over and over and over again because of financial malfeasance.
I agree. And when you have a situation like Dallas has on their hands right now, it is wildly different than, say, the Minnesota Vikings, who made Justin Jefferson the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, right? Where you had Justin Jefferson, who is truly elite, is a bigger body, even though he is, you know, Slenderman, but he is truly elite, a game breaker. And then also you have the situation where you're not staring down the barrel of a quarterback who wants to get paid a lot of money. You're not you have a receiver that you drafted 2 years after him in Jordan Addison, who you don't have to worry about him breaking the bank, but you have a safety net in that. All right, how does Justin Jefferson help Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson get open and help grow JJ McCarthy, our young quarterback on a rookie deal? That's not what Dallas is in right now.
No, they look at the skill positions. But where I will give the Cowboys credit is they have drafted incredibly well.
They do a very good job of drafting.
Dak is a great draft pick. CD's a great draft pick. Micah Parsons, great draft pick. Look at their offensive line every year. They've got great draft picks up and down. But what they fail to do is backfill.
Yeah, and this is the problem, though, that they've run into is that they've had to make the tough decisions on a lot of those offensive linemen. Where they had an offensive line that was six deep with starters at one point when they got Lyle Collins. And they had six like high-level starting offensive linemen on one roster.
They missed that period because they had Dak on the rookie deal, and they had all the skill position players, and they had the offensive line, and they had the defense, and they just fell on their face.
And now you're really looking at Tyron Smith was old, and he was on his last legs. They had to make a business decision.
See, that made sense.
Yeah. Go, leave. You got Zach Martin, who has a long injury history, but when he is healthy, is still a very good offensive lineman. Tyler Smith at offensive tackle, and then you're sitting there going, all right, now we hope. We hope. You got two.
Yeah.
You got two. You had six a few years ago, and then you paid Zeke a butt ton of money. And
he's still on the roster, though.
Uh-oh. Boomeranging back around. And that's kind of the thing. We mentioned both Dez Bryant, Amari Cooper as wide receivers that got the bag, never saw the end of those deals. You also had Ezekiel Elliott, who you just sat there. You couldn't get rid of him. You couldn't unload him. And then he ended up boomeranging back around, albeit on a cheap deal now. But this could backfire on the Dallas Cowboys because of the fact that you do have Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, now CeeDee Lamb, and then where's the rest of your money going to go, and who's going to be the next casualty for Dallas? On top of that, you've got a situation where you do not have, and you have not afforded, as you said, because of backfilling your roster, you can't afford to have the injury bug come and bite you. And what happened over the weekend? Deron Bland out 6 to 8 weeks with a foot injury. Now, that puts you in a situation, in a precarious situation, where you've had Trayvon Diggs, who led the NFL in interceptions, but also gave up explosive plays because he likes to gamble. Mm-hmm. He's been dinged up, banged up. Deron Bland, your other corner, is now out for a month and a half, 2 months, with a foot injury. You're already starting to take those hits because you have drafted really well and you've acquired a ton of talent, man. And that makes it incredibly hard to win at the highest levels in the NFL. The silver lining in this, if Deron Bland is going to get hurt, you want him to do it now as opposed to late in the year.
That way you can crash and burn to start the season.
You can work your way back through.
The best thing to happen for this Cowboys team, if you're being honest with yourself, if you're a Cowboys fan, is if they crater into the side of the moon right out of the gate.
Dude, that's hilarious. You think that?
Oh, Jerry,
think that Cowboys fans are going to be honest with themselves?
No.
They're fans, but, man. I mean,
that would be the best possible situation for them.
Yeah.
It's just crater.
Yeah.
I mean, just be bad. And then end up at the top of the draft in a couple of rounds, be able to restock, have some things make some sense for you. Hey, maybe you can go get Shedeur Sanders and have another quarterback that, you know.
Now you're just saying things. You're just saying things right now to make sure that the Raiders don't get Shedeur Sanders because you're very worried about that.
I'm terrified.
You have seen way too many too early mock drafts.
That is my Dak Prescott.
Raiders trading up to get Shedeur Sanders. But Dak Prescott was a third round pick, and there's the far too early mock drafts of Raiders going to trade up to two to get Shedeur Sanders. I see what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You can't put one past me.
What?
All right. CeeDee Lamb got paid, and Marlon, the good news is they're going to play it slow with him. Good news is, Cowboys fans, you have your wide receiver one. He is back in camp now. Well, they broke camp. He's going to be back in practice. They're going to use a ramp up for him. And I think this is something that people all need to have in the back of their minds is these receivers that have been holding out, whether it is CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase, who was back at Bengals practice yesterday, Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, soft tissue injuries are going to be the major concern. Mm-hmm. You cannot, like, having CeeDee Lamb week one is not a priority, and it shouldn't be like, oh my God, why is CeeDee not playing? Everybody on that roster understands why he was holding out, but forcing him to play too early, and I'll say he'll be in the lineup week one, but it will be limited.
Yeah.
You don't want these guys getting hurt because they are Ferraris. And history will tell you that these guys that hold out.
That's why you have two, because one always breaks down.
They get banged up. Ferraris?
Oh, Jaguars was the old joke.
Mm. Well.
Always have two, because when one breaks, when one's in the shop, you can drive the other one.
That kind of fits the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm. You know? Right when things start going their way.
They took it to
first
the limit.
Year, we took it to the limit.
That's right, with Mark Brunell, lefty. Lefty out of Washington. Mark Brunell, first year, took it to the limit.
Big old cannon.
Little Jimmy Smith, some Keenan McCardell.
That's what I'm talking about. I like Keenan McCardell, man. He's fun. All right, so CeeDee gets paid. Dallas fans are happy CeeDee's back. You got your receiver, but just wait. You're going to have to make a tough decision down the road because he's getting paid $136 million, $100 million of which is guaranteed. Which is a lot of guaranteed money, too.
Second most for a non-quarterback.
And I like that. I like that guys in the NFL are getting guaranteed money now. Because that was the biggest farce in NFL contracts. Was like, he's going to get paid $150 million.
Like, no, he's not.
62 of which is guaranteed. It's like, oh, great. That doesn't mean anything.
He's going to get paid $62 million.
Exactly. Yeah. He got paid $62 million. He got $100 million, though. Good for CeeDee Lamb. All right, the Oregon State Beavers make a big announcement right as our show started. Getting ready for Idaho State. They'll have a guy behind center who's very familiar with the Bengals. Next on The Fan.
Here you go, fatty.
Oregon State released their first depth chart. Heading into week one of the regular season, the Idaho State Bengals head down to Research Stadium to take on the Beavs this weekend. And maybe a surprise to some, but it was a battle. They kept saying it was a battle throughout camp. Javonte McCoy, the University of Idaho transfer, beating out Bengal Branson and Jabari Johnson for the starting quarterback role down in Corvallis. McCoy. And I think that if you don't know, and if you didn't watch any of Javonte McCoy at Idaho or throughout the spring, he's a playmaker, man. And he was wildly efficient at the University of Idaho. Completed in two seasons 66% of his passes, 43 touchdowns, 15 picks. He can get into a little bit of the gunslinger.
Mm.
He has a little bit of that gunslinger in him, and it can bite him at times, but he is really stinking fun to watch. I loved watching, because ESPN would throw Idaho in, like, night games.
Like, they're on that schedule.
Dude, he was electric. The Kibby Dome was rocking
last
year. All
I hear is Jelani McCoy.
Jelani McCoy.
And that I don't know why. Like, that's all I have popping in my head over and over and over again. I just picture Jelani McCoy playing quarterback, and it's not what you're saying.
No, it's Javonte. Javonte McCoy.
I don't know why, but that's like the first time I heard it, I was like, Jelani McCoy?
And this is a guy who's going to be obviously have a lot of familiarity with Idaho State, playing in the Big Sky for the last two seasons as an Idaho Vandal of Idaho State, obviously a rival of theirs. And this is one of the tough putts of being an FCS or a non-power FBS program, is once you get a quarterback or really any player, because if you're looking at the University of Idaho, who's going down to play Oregon this weekend, they lost Javonte McCoy, who was their quarterback last year. They lost their running back, Anthony Woods, who transferred to Utah and was a 1,000-yard back. That is just kind of the name of the game now with the transfer portal is...
You move your way up.
You shine, you move your way up, and all of a sudden, a quarterfinal team from a year ago in the FCS playoffs in Idaho looks wildly different than they did. And you should be sitting there, and what these FCS coaches used to be is like, hey, now we're going to make a run. We were quarterfinals last year. Mm-hmm. We could be a championship contending team this year.
Yeah, you end up being good, you're restocking. That's where the Montanas, Montana States, North Dakota States, South Dakota, those teams, when the reason they're able to stay relevant is they're kind of Georgia,
yeah,
Alabama. They have depth.
And they, oddly enough, fill their rosters with a lot of local guys, mm-hmm, too. Like, there's a lot of guys from North Dakota and Montana that play for those, mm-hmm, those schools.
They're from Fargo, from Bismarck. Yep.
And it's a lot harder to pull a guy out of Montana or Montana State if he's from the state of, mm-hmm, Montana than it is a guy from California or Texas who was overlooked in the recruiting process and says, whoa, I can go and I can play. And Giovanni McCoy can play. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're an Oregon State fan, the thing that makes you excited about this year as you head into it is we know what Ben Gulbranson has to offer. Mm-hmm. And he can be a manager. And again, now we're getting back into football mode. There is nothing wrong with being a game manager.
No.
Like, it's a dirty word, and I don't know how we got there,
particularly
but being a game manager is great.
Yes, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The game manager now is more what I think teams prefer, to be honest. Now, don't be wrong, they want a superstar quarterback, but if they don't have that, you don't see the gunslinger anymore.
No.
You want the guy that's going to get the ball out on time and take care of it, not take risks, not put you behind the sticks, eat the ball when they need to eat it, just being smart about it. And if you're Oregon State, I think you need a little bit of juice.
Yeah.
As much as Gulbranson's fine, I do think you need a little bit of juice.
Well, and with the weapons that you have at your disposal this year, it is a lot different due to the coaching change and graduation. You know, guys like Anthony Gould who go off and are getting rave reviews now. And you have Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, who are going to be your 1-2 punch running backs in the backfield. Jam Griffin doing the old boomerang back around Oregon State, Ole Miss, back to Oregon State. You can get yourself and afford yourself behind what it is a really big offensive line. And look, keeping Joshua Gray was huge throughout this entire process of the coaching change and guys hitting the portal and deciding to leave. Keeping Joshua Gray was huge for the Beavs.
Yes.
You also kept Grant Stark, too, mm-hmm, at the right tackle. You bring in the two Colorado guys with Lichtenhahn and Wells. Van Wells, the center. You are going to have the ability to run the football.
And you've got a really good running back.
And then you have Giovanni McCoy, who's going to be that guy, like you said, mm-hmm, can keep some plays alive for you.
Give him a little bit of juice.
It gives you a little bit of juice there. I'm excited to see what Oregon State puts on the field. I know that there was so many people down on them because of the defections that they had in the portal. But if you look at their schedule outside of the Oregon game, all of it is very manageable, yeah, this season. And that can be a stabilizer for the football program.
They win 9 games in this and flux. It looks a lot better.
Heck yeah, it does. And Giovanni McCoy is going to be the guy who's going to get the snaps with the first team coming out this Saturday, taking on the Bengals of Idaho State.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, yeah. 3:30 kick on the C-dubs for that game. Idaho State and Idaho, both the weirdest setups for college football. You have the Kibby Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Where Idaho plays.
Aren't the
goalposts in both of these, yeah, stadiums come down from the rafters because it's their basketball,
mm-hmm,
stadiums too. But Idaho State, the Holt Center, that is a place where the benches for the football,
aren't they down below?
They're dugouts.
Yeah.
They're dugouts. So if like you have somebody over 6 feet tall, they have to like duck under to go and sit on the bench. It's just them's the breaks playing in the state of Idaho, I guess. But at least they got a dome. At least they got a dome in both those places. But the state of Idaho invades the state of Oregon this weekend as Idaho State plays Oregon State. Idaho travels to Autzen Stadium for Oregon, which is a 4:30 kick right here on the Fan. Giovanni McCoy going to be behind center for game one for the Beavs this weekend. And hopefully it's a game where you don't have to see, or you get to see Ben Gulbranson. You get to see, you know, Jabari Johnson as well. And it's not going to be a, you keep your starters in for too long.
Pack it up and get done the thing.
Stay healthy.
You mentioned random stadiums.
Yeah.
When I was in North Dakota, Grand Forks, University of North Dakota, Alaris Field, or was it Alaris Center now? It's got a weird setup, too, where the goalposts are dropped in the same way, but they have regular like bench seats, length of the field, and then, because it's a dome, dome's a loose word, it's a box, but there's box seats behind the field goals on both sides.
Oh.
It's
so they got a little suites going on
It's
there.
Pretty, it's an interesting little setup.
Huh.
Like on each end.
Yeah.
But the field goal posts are like smashed up against, there's a couple feet between the posts and the box suites. It's weird.
I applaud Montana and Montana State for saying, you know what? We're going to keep it outdoors.
You can't in Grand Forks though. Like you legitimately can't.
Washington Grizzly Stadium is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite stadiums in all of college football. If you've never been to University of Montana, that's like it should be a bucket list place for you to go and watch a game.
It's like BYU baseball.
It is an awesome stadium, and it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one in Bozeman?
No, that's in Missoula.
Missoula. Montana State's in Bozeman.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, North Dakota State, South Dakota, they all play indoors. South Dakota State plays outdoors.
Yeah, Grand Forks, you can't. Because I've been there before.
Or Fargo.
In September, it was negative.
Yeah, they call Lambeau the frozen tundra. Fargo's like, hold my beer.
Yeah, no, and Grand Forks is an hour north of Fargo.
Hold my beer because I can't with my hands.
It's
frozen.
It's frozen.
It's going to freeze. That was the greatest playoff game. The ending wasn't great for Minnesota. Like Blair Walsh missing kick. But that Seahawks-Vikings game where fans were literally opening beers and they were freezing them before they could drink them. That's football, man.
That's cold.
That's football.
That's cold.
And that's a great thing about football. This is another great thing about football. I'm just going to be saying great things about football for all week long.
I like it.
Great thing about football is that it starts in August and you have like these sweltering games. Mm. And then it ends with people getting frostbite watching their favorite team. Like, there's no other sport that starts with heat stroke and ends with frostbite.
Wasn't there something in Kansas City at that game in Miami, like lost their fingers?
Multiple people lost digits because one guy in particular, he was taking down his pop-up tent and he had to take his gloves off in order to take the pop-up tent down. Frostbite, fingers, gone.
Mm. America.
America, football. So great. It's so great.
Would you do it again? Of course.
Yeah, I would. I would. We need to find that Jim Harbaugh quote, by the way, from this weekend. Harbaugh had another all-timer. I mean, even for a Jim Harbaugh quote, this one was, I think he may leave his wife for Justin Herbert.
I would say, is this Harbaugh in the elevator?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It might be one of the best Harbaugh quotes that we have ever heard.
It's up there. It's off the rails.
It's a thing of beauty, and he is an absolute.
It sounds like
lunatic.
It's AI generated.
It might be. It might be. It very easily could be that.
It's no offense. There's no defense. It's a wee fence.
Yeah. They got a wee fence going on there. All right. 503-864-6326. That'd be the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll get to some of your feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Metal Monday.
It is Metal Monday. This isn't metal.
Pay attention.
Oh my gosh. We have Enter Sandman Yacht Rock Edition. Why does this work?
Dude.
Because it's beautiful music.
That slams.
Wow. That is beautiful.
It's It's amazing. It's so good.
That, who did that?
Oh, what's that, this guy's like, name? I think his name is, he calls himself the Professor Nick Harrison.
Okay.
It's not, yeah, a professor from Salem out there crossing guys up in basketball.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
That is fantastic.
Sounds a little bit like George Benson. Yeah. A little of the old, and you know, and give me the night.
It has like a little Michael McDonald flair to it,
yeah,
too.
It's the staccato.
Yeah, you couldn't wait till Yacht Rock Friday to unveil that. You had to go on a Metal Monday.
Yes.
Which, by the way, it is Metal Monday today. Mm. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we are going to be giving away tickets to Five Finger Death Punch in the 2 o'clock hour today.
Sweet.
So make sure that you are hanging in there.
I do love me some Death Punch.
I bet you do.
I think we have some in the playlist, don't we?
Oh, we do have some, yeah, Five Finger Death Punch in the playlist.
See, I gave like 80-something songs. I think I put some Five Finger in there.
Sure, yep. Yeah, there we go. All right, we were talking about Javonte McCoy being the quarterback for Oregon State. This text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. As an OSU fan, I could not be less excited about McCoy. This looks like an FCS team. He's 6 foot, 180 pounds. Dude might seriously get hurt when they play Oregon. I understand that.
I mean, you had the big quarterback last year and it didn't do you any good.
I also understand that. I see both sides of
this.
Just
saying. Like, and DJ was more of a game manager than even I thought he would end up being.
I mean, but that, when you have a guy who is a playmaker and you need to keep defenses on their heels, mm-hmm, any way that you can, like, this is a shift stylistically too with Gunderson calling plays now. And your offense is not Jonathan Smith's offense.
I want to see him get weird. Like, go Boise State. Kind of tailor it and build it around whatever you got each year.
And this year, I think McCoy fits what the talent around him. Think of the running backs that you have in Griffin and Hankerson. Both of those guys are small, thick boys. Mm-hmm. They are 5'8", 5'9", over two bills. Mm-hmm. You know? But both explosive out of the backfield, can be used in the passing game effectively and efficiently. You have some bigger body receivers on the outside, and I think that is something that is going to be fun to see with the Michigan transfer, Darius Clemens, the Westview High product. He is transferred over. He's going to be on the outside. You've got, he's 6'3", 210. Mm-hmm. That's a big guy. So you go 6'2", 187 with Noga at another receiver, and then 6'2", about 195 with Trent Walker.
Quite a shift from 5'8", 5'8", 5'9".
In speed, yeah, you know, stretching you vertically, you are going to have bigger targets. Mm-hmm. And you are going to move the pocket. I'm assuming you're going to be moving the pocket more this year because Lichtenhahn is 6'9", 320, whatever.
330, yeah.
We saw him at Colorado last year where pass pro and holding up in pass pro was a problem.
Straight set is not going to be a good thing for him.
But Joshua Gray, very good in that regard. Grant Stark, mm-hmm, is a plus pass blocking right tackle that you have. You're going to want to move the pocket, though, and you're going to want to get outside a little bit more. You want to have that ability to have a little bit of athleticism. I understand that he's going to get killed against Oregon, right? They're going to come at you in waves because they have kind of built depth and kind of stacked depth. But playmakers, man, they come in all shapes and sizes. Yeah. And Javonte McCoy is a play. He keeps plays alive. He's not like a running quarterback by any stretch, but he is a guy that keeps plays alive and keeps his eyes downfield.
The other part
that's what you need.
Is this is
it sucks. Efficient.
It sucks to say this. You're not in the same conference anymore, guys.
Yep.
You're not playing guys that are going to be in the NFL every week anymore. You're playing in the Mountain West.
Essentially, yes.
That's what you're doing. So you're not. So even if he's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, the scaling matters. Like if he's projects to be an above average college quarterback at this level, mm-hmm, you're fine.
Yeah.
Does that mean that he's going to be the guy that takes you to an 11-1 season, and now you're getting that dark horse bid as the Group of Five nomination to the college football playoff? Probably not. But that's not the only way you live now.
I don't think they can get that nomination.
Yeah, because they're not technically.
No.
Yeah.
No. They've got to just get straight just up at large. 12-0. That'll do it. That'll do it. That'll get you in the 12-team playoff. All right. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. Keep them rolling. Keep them coming in. Let's start hour number two with a little bit of college football. We had a college football palooza to kick off the season. 0 week. Not good football. Very exciting. And get them dogs out. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.